Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
As I found when I was making, I had a good job, let's just leave it at that, that I didn't really care what the economy said. When I, for whatever reason that was not related to the economy at all, was in some dire economic straits, then maybe I did blame it on the economy. Is that human nature?
Yeah, that's human nature. Not only is that human nature, but it affects the ballot box, too. You know, that's I think, as you go into this election season here in Louisiana, going to the national election season next year, people have a tendency to vote their pocketbook. And if things are going well, they vote for the incumbent. If things are not going very well, then they vote for the new party to come in and kind of get them a job and get things going again.
So you've studied this, right? You and your company have studied this about the economy and economic outlook?
Yeah. I mean, we've been doing the Louisiana economic outlook for almost 40 years now. So we keep up with the economy very closely. We watch, releases by the media, but we also make about 200 or so phone calls around the state to businesses saying, you know, what are y'all doing? What's happening? You're laying people off, hiring people. What are the prospects out there? So we've been doing this for a very, very long time.
So I read your report, or at least a newspaper story about it from The Advocate. We have a story on our webpage from the AP saying that Louisiana's $500 million budget surplus stems from mainly federal tax changes, not a booming economy. So, I know economists don't always agree on everything, but in terms of the study that you did, which I'm reading about in a lot more detail than that, how do you go about defining what is a good economy, what's bad, and how would you measure that, Doctor?
Well, I mean, one of the things you look at, and one of the things we key on very heavily, is the number of people employed in the economy and what's happening to that number, and how does the growth rate compare to the national economy. And I think what the work that you're citing was done by Greg Albrecht, a very prominent, very good, and a very competent economist with the Legislative Fiscal Office, and I think he's right on target. I don't think it's because that. I think it's primarily because of the changes in the federal tax laws, not because of the economy. And the reason I say that is if you look at the last four years have been kind of moribund for us in terms of economic growth. We've been growing very, very slowly. And matter of fact, we had 2 years that was nobody's fault except the Saudis, I guess, that in which the price of oil dropped from, 100 to under 30 at one point. And that sent us, especially our oil patch, into a terrible recession. And the state ended up losing about over 23,000 jobs. And then in the last couple of years, we've had, again, the oil patch not quite coming back so much. But we've also been in between some really big projects in the state. We had this unusually large number of industrial announcements in our state, $188 billion. This is an unheard-of number for us. And a number of those, about 40% or so of those, have been underway or being constructed. But they pretty much finished up now, but they haven't started up the other 60% yet. They haven't pulled the trigger yet. So we've been in this lull in between projects, and that's cost us about 6,600 or so industrial construction jobs. So that's also brought us down some and kept us from growing very much.
Wait, let me slow you down for a little bit, Doc, if I can pump the brakes so I can understand this. When you talk about 60%, yet 60% of what now?
60% of the $188 billion in projects. I mean, to give you an idea, Tommy, I've been watching the Louisiana economy for like four decades now. In the past, if we had $5 billion in industrial announcements, we'd have thought that was great. We now have $188 billion.
Now, again,
like nothing you've ever seen before.
Define industrial announcements for us.
Well, if a plant, a company says we're going to build an LNG export terminal down at the Port of Plaquemine, or we're going to build a huge methanol plant down at the Port of Plaquemine, in y'all's case, or Formosa announces a $9.4 billion project up on the river in St. James Parish. That's what we're talking about. These are big industries. We're not talking about somebody saying we're going to build a warehouse.
I got you.
Or we're going to build a commercial building. We're talking about big industrial projects. And it's like nothing we've ever seen before. And as it turns out, New Orleans has been a real benefactor of this, too.
Let me take a break here. We'll pick it up when we come back. And I don't mean to interrupt you, Doctor. I just want to everybody to understand what we're talking about. Because you've been doing this for 40 years, not us. Taking a break. Coming back with Dr. Lauren Scott, Professor Emeritus of Economics at LSU, President and Founder of Lauren C. Scott & Associates, talking about the economic outlook for the state of Louisiana. And as you just heard, $188 billion of, I guess, capital investment in the state by some very big companies that has yet to happen. Taking a break, coming back, if you have any comments, 260-1870, or you can text them to 870-870. I'll pass them along to Dr. Scott. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll asking you, is the Louisiana economy working for you? You can log on, cast your vote, I'll give you the results when we come back, WWL. 924, Tommy Tucker talking to our friend Dr. Lauren Scott, Professor Emeritus of Economics at LSU, President and Founder of Lauren C. Scott and Associates, about the economy of Louisiana. Our Blue Runner Gumbo opinion poll asking you, is the Louisiana economy working for you? And 61% now are saying no, 39% are saying yes. Dr. Scott, obviously our audience predominantly from the New Orleans area, and before we went to break, you had mentioned something about that. So could you pick it up there, please?
Yeah, before I do, I need to mention a little correction from last time. I said there's $188 billion that have been announced. 76 of that has already happened. We're kind of waiting on 112 to get started. So that's still a humongous number.
It is.
But, yeah, I mean, I can see where it's a little peculiar that if your respondents are primarily in New Orleans,
And I'm guessing that. There's no science to this at all. That was just my presuming. But go ahead, please.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be weird if it's from New Orleans. And the reason for that is New Orleans has been the fastest growing area of the state this year. I mean, New Orleans is doing quite well right now, and it really has a really good outlook going into 20 and 21. We think you'll be adding about almost 20,000 new jobs, which is the highest absolute growth rate in the state in the fourth fastest in percentage terms growth rate in the state, so it's doing very well.
20,000 in what time period?
Over the next 2 years.
Wow.
Over 2020 and 2021.
And what sector do you know?
You're talking about growth rates of about 1.6%.
Doc, we got a bad phone line, and we want to hear what you have to say desperately, so we're going to try to reconnect. Jordan will fix all of that up. I would just like to wonder, when you talk about 20,000 jobs in the next 2 years, what sector are you talking about? Because naturally, when you talk about capital investment, if it's a factory, I would think those jobs would tend to be a lot more lucrative, pay a lot more than would a job in a service industry, saying if those jobs created are primarily in hotels and so forth, not to denigrate any of that, but just being honest about it. The other thing I was wondering about, and y'all are going to go crazy when you hear me say this, but every time I sit in the office and look out of the window, I see so many cranes in New Orleans and so many projects. And I think about Ed Blakely saying cranes in the sky, and we are seeing them now. I don't know if he was prescient or it's just coincidental. Dr. Scott is there again. Hey, Doc, so before we left, I was asking you about those 20,000 jobs in the next 2 years. Is there one industry to which they are specifically related?
Well, a lot of that is going to be industrial construction. And oddly, it's not going to be industrial construction in, say, downtown. It's not going to be in Orleans. It's not really going to be in Jefferson. It's going to be out on the edges of your metropolitan area. You got to $9.4 billion project that for most of plastic should start next year, I think, in St. James Parish. Down in Plaquemine Parish, your Plaquemine port is doing really well right now in terms of attracting new industry. A big outfit called Venture Global should be pulling the trigger very soon on an LNG export terminal down there. There's a big liquid tank terminal that is scheduled to be built down there that will be really huge for that area. But, you know, you got DXC, which is right across from the Superdome, that's going to be bringing a total of about 2,000 jobs to your area. But a lot of the expansion has to do with some of these big industrial projects For your particular area, you have about almost $44 billion in projects that are on the horizon that have not, they haven't pulled the trigger yet, but they're getting ready to over the next 2 years. And I think that's going to create an enormous number of industrial construction jobs for you.
And before we run out of time, we got to talk about the oil patch, right?
Yeah. The oil patch, again, Lafayette and Houma, especially Houma, has just had a terrible 3 or 4 years. They've lost, like I said, Houma's lost 17% of their jobs plus. And so it's been horrible. But actually what we see happening, we think, and this is one of the most heroic parts of our forecast probably, we think the Gulf of Mexico is going to start coming back a bit. The rig count used to be about 61 rigs operating in the Gulf of Mexico. It dropped all the way down to 20 and stayed there and stayed there and stayed there. It's now started to creep up a little bit. It's up to around 25. We think it'll go up to 35. So we're looking at things like lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico, some important decisions about really deep oil out there, and we really think we're poised to have a significant, not great, but a significant bump in the Gulf of Mexico, and I think that's going to cause Houma and Lafayette to have particularly good years, and also the New Orleans metropolitan area to have particularly good years in 2021.
Why would that bump occur?
Well, the primary reason it's occurring, we think it's occurring, is number one, there are, if you look at the lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico, there was a significant bump up in the number of tracts purchased and the amount of money paid for those between 2018 and 2019. So that's the first leading indicator. The second thing for your readers to watch is watch what's happening with something called the Anchor Field out there in the Gulf of Mexico. It's owned by Chevron. They know how to drill in waters where you have 15,000 pounds per square inch of pressure down on the bottom. We know how to do that safely. What we don't know is how to do it in 20,000 pounds per square inch. And the Anchor Field is such a field. And they are very close to breaking that code. Once they break that code, I think that'll happen before the end of this year, all kinds of firms are now going to be able to drill in that deep of water safely. And again, I think that's another thing that's going to cause a pop-up in the number of drilling rigs out there.
I was going to ask you that because, and this is going to be an eighth grader's explanation, I guess, but as I understand it, most of the oil that's cheap to get has been gotten, and that's why the drilling slowed down and other places have become more popular for oil companies to look for oil. But the and you correct me if I'm wrong there, am I?
Well, yeah, that's right. I mean, well, there's two things. One of the reasons that a number of companies left the Gulf and went to the Permian Basin out west Texas is because it only cost you about $8 million to drill a well, and you get oil almost immediately. In the Gulf of Mexico, it's going to cost you $200 million to drill a well, and it may be from the time you explore and get the land and stuff, it may be 5 years before you start producing. Now, when you do start producing in the Gulf of Mexico, you produce an ocean of oil compared to one of those rigs out in the Permian Basin. And that is that the fact that if you hit and you hit successfully out there, you get so much oil, very low, very small decline rate in production. It stays there for a long time. That's one of the reasons we still have the big players out there.
And as it relates to technology, and you just mentioned close to cracking the code, I think was a phrase that you used.
Right.
Are there hopes that as technology expands, and I don't know how, when it comes to the oil business, how much that can expand technologically, but would that then maybe portend good things for the oil industry here, where then it would make that oil a lot more cost effective to get?
Actually, the people in the oil and gas exploration industry, I think, are among the most technologically advanced and cleverest people on the planet. What they are doing in the Gulf of Mexico, I think, is more difficult than landing a person on the moon. I mean, they are drilling
really?
In water. Yo, my goodness, yes.
Wow.
They are drilling in water. You think about this. They're dropping a pipe down, in some cases, 2.5 miles before it even hits the bottom of the ocean. Then they're drilling another 3 miles down. Now, this pounds per square inch thing, let me give you an idea about this. One of my buddies went down in a submarine about less than a mile, and he put a golf ball in a basket on the outside of the submarine. When he came back up to the surface, the golf ball was the size of a raisin. That's how tough the pressures are down.
Wow.
It's amazing what they're doing, and they have gotten the break-even point out there down from $80 a barrel back in 2014 to under $30 a barrel now. That's how quick how clever they've been about in terms of designing things more efficiently, doing things more efficiently, and getting more oil out of the ground. They're just amazing, clever capitalists out there.
So in terms of reserves, and I don't mean to get us off, I don't know if we'd be in the weeds or in the water on this one, but once that technology expands, in terms of reserves in the Gulf, would that be happy days or here again for us?
That would be, well, it wouldn't be where you went back to 60 rigs, but I think once they break this code, going to 40, 45 over, you know, if you go out two or three, four more years, getting to 45 rigs or something like that is very possible. And when you do that, just think about this for a minute. You have Hornbeck over on the North Shore that provides supply boats. You have Edison Suez down providing supply boats. For every new rig, there's three new supply boats needed. For every supply boat, there's 10 new mariners needed. So just an increase of 10 rigs will create jobs for 300 mariners. So this is a non-trivial thing just to get up into the 35-40 range.
Anything to add, Doc? Your last comment.
Well, I mean, the good news is if you're on I-10 or below, I think the prospects are really good for you. If you're on I-10 or above, things are pretty difficult from Alexandria on up right now. So it's a very different kind of state when you go above I-10.
I lied. One more question. When it comes to these jobs, do we have people ready to take them? Are there Louisianians that might be employed elsewhere that then can then move into the sector?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have Louisianians that can take them. Now, I will tell you, though, on the industrial construction jobs, a lot of those, not a lot, but a non-trivial number of those are brought in. They come in from out of state. They come in from all over the country. Pipe fitters need to move wherever the jobs are, for example. But for a Louisianan that wants a job in this industrial construction side, the jobs will be there.
Thank you, Doctor. I appreciate your time. Good to talk to you again.
Same here, buddy. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. Lauren Scott, Professor Emeritus of Economics at LSU, President of Lauren C. Scott & Associates.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.